This is A Wild Conversation.
Hi, my name is Callum Hughes. I'm a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And I'm Ashley Wysick, also a zookeeper here at the Greater Vancouver Zoo.
And today on A Wild Conversations, we're going to be talking about when animals go full sci-fi, like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Yes.
Are you a big sci-fi fan?
No.
What?
I mean, okay, maybe. Kind of, I don't know.
I mean, Jurassic World Dominion is coming out soon.
That is very exciting. I really like animals, and I really like being out. I don't know. I didn't watch a lot of movies growing up. I feel like I'm...
Okay, don't worry. I have a bunch of examples of animals that do these really cool things that have either inspired sci-fi movies or just coincidentally been a case.
Yeah.
So to start off with, what do you think of cryogenics? Like the idea of freezing yourself into the future.
Can I be completely honest with you?
What?
It just makes me think of Futurama.
Yeah, exactly. Futurama, Demolition Man.
Yeah, no.
Space travel, many movies where you have to freeze yourself for space travel.
It's really hard for my brain to wrap around that whole idea.
Yeah.
You know, because I just think of like your whole body freezing and then unfreezing, and it's like, what would that do to you? But then there's frogs.
Yeah.
That do that.
Exactly.
Oh.
And there's a frog here in Canada that does it, and Alaska, the wood frog.
Yeah.
And so it actually goes into the leaf litter and it freezes itself. It allows itself to freeze during the winter.
Which is insane.
Right. Because like the thing you don't get is when you freeze something, it damages the cells.
It does.
The water, the...
That's why my banana is black now. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. It like the ice crystals form and it draws water out of the cells and it expands and it can damage your cells.
Yeah.
But this frog is able to freeze itself, but not completely, right? It has a special ability. In other words, its liver produces a bunch of glycogen
or sugars.
Exactly. And it like releases these sugars and that actually lowers the temperature that a certain part of its body won't freeze, and its blood kind of pools in one area. And this is kind of cool for science because it could be something that helps us store organs from organ donors for longer.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that allows someone to be frozen into the future. Like they have an incurable disease and maybe one day they could be treated.
Yeah.
Unfortunately though, it's probably not likely because wood frogs have a bunch of adaptations. They're small in body size. Mm-hmm. They can survive like sugar levels that would kill us and being dried out. There's some really good in-depth videos on YouTube that goes into this in further detail, but it's pretty crazy, right?
No, that's absolutely insane. And also when you're describing the pooling of the blood in one area, my visual, it's gross. I can't even explain. It's just like, ugh.
It doesn't quite freeze, but its heart does stop. And there's even another animal that does it. It's an insect called the wetter from New Zealand.
Wetter.
Yeah. It looks kind of like a giant cricket with some really nasty pincers.
Interesting.
Yeah, I recommend looking it up, but it's definitely a
horror
show.
The last time I looked up something you recommended, it traumatized me.
All right, I'll change it from trauma, okay? Here's one. I'm sorry about the spider-tailed horned viper.
Oh my gosh. Lives rent-free in my brain and I hate it.
So another one, I'll kick it off with a joke, okay?
Okay.
Make it a bit
lighthearted.
Okay. What did the salamander say to the scientist who was studying limb regeneration?
I don't know.
You axolotl of questions. Huh? And that is the next cool sci-fi thing.
Oh my gosh. I'm crying. I should have expected that one. That was good. That was good.
Yes.
Like that. Oh.
So the axolotl has been studied by science because of its ability to regenerate cells, parts of its organs, and even parts of its brain.
Plus they're cute.
Yeah, they are super cute. Right?
That's insane. Their brain? Wait, like
bits of their brain. So they're a special animal because they stay young for most of their life. But their ability to regenerate is something outstanding. And many people have researched this to see if it's possible that we could do the same thing for mankind. It's shown in sci-fi movies because like you have like Wolverine from X-Men.
Isn't there a procedure that can be done? I don't know this because I'm not a doctor. Mm. And I took one neurobiology class in university. But I think at a young enough age, children can have half their brain removed and it will grow back.
I do not know anything about that.
I'm pretty sure it's a thing. Like, there's a certain point, like, after this specific point, it won't work. But, like, certain little kids, if they have really bad epileptic seizures, one of the treatments can be to actually remove a part of their brain and it'll regenerate. But it's only while they're really young.
That is going to be...
I'm going to Google it and I'm going to be wrong.
I'm totally going to Google it.
Worth
a research.
Hands in the air. I'm sorry. But I think it was a thing.
I know that regeneration is definitely more effective when you're younger. And that's probably why the axolotl stays in its juvenile state throughout its entire life. It might be connected to that. Oh. But what's really cool is the same genes that an axolotl has that allows it to heal are in us.
Oh.
Right? It's kind of like, think of your genes in your body, kind of like one of those switchboards. Circuit boards.
When one of our switches is just turned off, and exactly. If we could figure out how to turn it on, maybe it would help us. But you know what? Talking about that too is one of the things that causes cancer cells is cells, like, they start over multiplying and over regenerating themselves.
True.
Right? So there's, I feel like there'd be a weird balancing point there.
Exactly. And there's probably a reason that gene is turned off.
Not that I actually know anything about that, but you know what? Words.
Fair enough. But, I mean, if we are able to turn it on for someone in a coma, for example, temporarily.
So cool.
Might be cool.
I also just would like to remind people that not to quote me on certain things because I'm just going by the seat of my pants.
Hey, do not worry. This is just us having a conversation.
It's so true. It's so true.
And, like, if anyone wants to check it out, please, I recommend Googling it, checking it out. You might even contact us and say, hey, I looked into it and I found an extra detail.
Right?
That'd be pretty cool.
I would honestly be so cool to learn more about it. The brain is insane and I love it. I was just really into animals, so that's more where I lead.
All right, I got to ask you about a movie choice, right?
Okay.
Have you seen A Quiet Place yet?
Is that a horror movie?
It's kind of like a horror suspense one.
No. I don't like horror. Okay. I don't watch horror. I can't do horror. I can't do jump scares. I can't do anything that, like, Doctor Strange, the new Doctor Strange movie.
Yeah.
Upset me.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, there's one jump scare in it, and I was on borderline on the floor. Like, I can't deal. Fantastic movie. Go see it. There's one jump scare.
Okay, I'm totally seeing
it. My friends think I'm lame.
I can be tense. But A Quiet Place, right?
Is that the one where, like, when people make noise, monsters come out of... I saw a commercial for that, and I turned the TV off. No.
So, I'm glad I'm not spoiling the movie for you.
Okay, no, right? I'm not going to see it. You can say whatever you want.
Okay.
Spoiler alert for anyone else listening.
So, it narrows in on its prey by hearing. A bit like bats use echolocation.
Okay.
Something you can relate to. You told me you communicate with echolocation sometimes.
Do I? I don't even remember saying that.
You did that in a previous podcast.
Okay, yep, sounds like me.
So they hunt their prey that way and they get moths. And it's scary for a moth because the last thing they probably hear is this.
I hate you. Stop.
But, right, there's this one type of moth called it's a type of tiger moth.
Okay.
It doesn't have an actual proper species name, just a Latin name.
Okay.
But it actually has a self-defense, right? Mm. As the bat is getting close and it gets within a certain range and that clicking starts going off, the moth releases a bunch of clicks itself, right?
Oh.
And the bat basically goes blind for a second. Its echolocation is just fuzzed up because of this, like, the moth release dubstep or something on this bat.
It just goes, what?
And then it does like evasive maneuvers and it gets out of the bat's way. And research has actually shown that sometimes when they have a bat chasing after one of these in a lab, they just give up. It just reaches a point where I can't home in on this guy.
Huh, interesting. It's like not worth it.
Exactly. And I don't know if it's like a case of the moth is able to detect the bat only at the last minute. Or if the moth is kind of sitting there being like, hold, steady now, now, and it releases this sound and it basically, it's like a sonic smoke screen.
Interesting.
And it allows them to escape.
That's so cool.
Right? Hmm. Another example of like evolutionary arms race.
That's not a movie that I would have thought could be related to an animal. That's really cool.
Right?
I'm not a fan of horror. I'm sorry.
Because in the end, and spoilers alert, they're able to find a way to jam its hearing ability or confuse it.
Just like the moth. We are moths. That's what you're saying. That's what I'm taking from this.
I mean, they're like the cutest butterflies. And they work during the night shift, so you got to give them credit for that.
I do find moths cute. Not everyone does.
I'm trying to convince my girlfriend to love moths. They're fuzzy, they're cute, they've got those cool antennae.
They eat my favorite dresses.
There is a blood-sucking
moth. Or at least they did one time, and I will never forgive them for it.
Well, I mean, you know, they've got a lot on their plate, dodging bats and stuff.
No, that's fair.
Another thing, immortality.
Mm.
Would you, if you had the chance, go for immortality?
No, but I would give it to my dog.
Mm.
Sorry.
No.
I'm sorry how like immediate that was. I just love... ever since I was a little kid, I was like, if I ever find an immortality potion, I'm giving it to Roxy. No questions asked.
I totally get that.
I just love her so much. And she's turning 13 this year, and I'm not coping well, but she's doing good. I love her.
I know.
I'm sorry.
No. I totally relate to that. If we could have the same lifespan as dogs, right, that would be amazing.
Yep.
So there is actually an animal that, in theory, is immortal. And it's a type of jellyfish, right? Literally called the immortal jellyfish.
Of course it's a jellyfish. Of course it's a jellyfish. Okay.
So as long as they don't get eaten or killed or anything like that, they can be biologically immortal, because when they get old or sick, they can revert back to their juvenile state, which is like a polyp.
Really?
And then live again. And they can keep doing this over and over and over again.
Is insane.
Right?
What? I wish I could just at any point be like, you know what? I want to be 7 again.
Yeah.
I don't want responsibilities anymore.
I mean, that's a Black Mirror episode right there.
Like, Black Mirror.
It's like this really good show that covers like sci-fi scenarios.
I don't watch enough
Each
stuff.
Each episode is like independent of the other.
Okay.
Imagine a society where people can basically go back to their childhood and live their life again, but they retain the same memories as being an adult. That would be just such a change in our social structure.
The weirdest child.
Exactly, right? Another really cool thing to talk about. Have you ever seen a movie where it's usually a zombie movie? Okay,
I
horror. Sorry.
I don't watch zombie movies. My sister made me watch The Walking Dead for one season, and I am still having trouble forgiving her.
You know, there's a really nice one called Resident Evil. I think it's pretty too laid back.
I have seen a Resident Evil movie. No, stop.
So imagine this, right? Or don't imagine this. There is a group of survivors, and they're in a safe place at the moment.
Uh-huh.
But one of them is turning into something.
I already want to walk out of the theater right now.
Going to want to eat the rest of its allies.
Oh, gosh.
This is a living reality for, I think, the barred tiger salamander, right?
Ooh.
It's... Cannibalism does occur in the wild, right? For different species.
Yeah.
But what's really cool about this species is they actually develop physical characteristics to eat other members of their species.
You just turn around the staff room and one of your coworkers has really sharp teeth. All of a sudden you're like, oh, I gotta go.
Yeah. Oh.
See you later.
Hello, HR. Yes. I think he's planning on eating us.
That's crazy. I did not know that.
It's like, it's quite interesting because they're still trying to understand what triggers it. But basically, when the population of a pond that they're born in reaches a certain density, some individuals start to develop sharp teeth, heads.
Oh my gosh. And some of them become Thanos.
Effectively, yes.
Oh my gosh.
But
I'm sorry. I've laughed so much in this episode that like my nose is starting to run. I'm okay. Continue. Okay.
That's good composure, Ashley. they're trying to figure out what causes it. What it is. Apparently, it's one of those examples of kin selection.
No.
They won't actually, or they're less likely to turn into cannibals if the individuals around them are their siblings.
Oh.
But if it's unrelated individuals, they're more likely to turn into cannibals.
See, that's kind of weird to me because you'd almost want the increased biodiversity naturally.
Yeah. But huh. It also could be like, you know, you're competing against my brother and sister.
Also, the people I find the most annoying are my siblings. Just kidding. I love them. They know how to torture me the most. That's all.
That's true. They do know your weak spots. And they
do.
Can, you know.
They do.
But yeah, this is actually a reality for that animal.
That is insane. What was it? It's a salamander. I forgot the name now. I need to be able to Google it.
It's the barred tiger salamander.
Barred tiger salamander.
But it's definitely a type of tiger salamander. All right, so another example I want to bring up too. Okay, I have something out of sci-fi.
Okay.
Imagine someone who is able to control a like natural disaster or start one.
Oh my gosh, like Storm.
Like Storm.
I'm sorry. I like superhero movies.
Or more like a mad scientist.
Okay.
Done something, all right? So you know swarming locusts?
Oh, yes.
They can cause billions of dollars of crop damage in certain regions.
Yeah.
They've actually found out that swarming isn't just a bunch of locusts together. It's actually a behavior.
Oh.
And there is a way to induce that behavior in a lab.
Is there a way to unduce? I don't know what the word.
I have not heard of them being able to undo it. Unless there was one example.
That would be really nice if you could actually stop a swarm in the wild, you know?
Yeah, that would actually be really useful to a lot of people.
Mm. Somebody's probably on it, honestly, let's be real.
Yeah, it would just be like some of these swarms are like miles long.
That's insane.
Would be super hard.
That is crazy. But yeah, continue.
So basically, to do it, it in the wild, it happens when their population reaches a certain density. And usually they avoid each other. They want their space. Uh-huh. But they end up brushing up against each other, specifically the hind limbs. Hmm. So you can actually, in a lab, induce it. But, of course, you would have to be very devoted to induce it. So what you need is a paintbrush, right?
We talk a lot about scientists with little paintbrushes.
And
I feel like this is a recurring theme I'm hearing.
Very true. And you basically, paintbrush is the most deadly weapon. And basically, you brush their legs for 5 seconds every 60 seconds for 4 hours.
Oh.
Yep.
Oh, that sounds so annoying.
And it induces that behavior. It releases serotonin, I think. And it basically causes them to want to group together. And they get more active, their reproduction increases, and that induces the swarming behavior.
That's crazy. Right? I had no idea. That's really cool.
I hope no one uses this for malicious purposes.
You know, imagine someone like out in a field with a little paintbrush.
I was thinking someone like God, like, you know, sitting there and it's like, son, are our vegetables in the UV basement? Yes, father. Fine. Bring me my paintbrush and the locusts. I'm not losing to Susie down the street in the big farmer's fair. Her zucchinis aren't winning this year.
No.
Oh. That being said, you would have to be very devoted.
No kidding.
Like every five seconds, every 60 seconds for 4 hours. Probably by locust 13, you'd be like...
If that was a job, I've already quit. I'm done. I'm not. I don't have the attention span for that. I'm sorry. I have ADHD. That's not going to sit.
And so there is so many amazing examples of animals that have adaptations out of sci-fi. We could even do another episode talking about this.
Yeah, we should.
But if anyone has any questions or wants to bring up any animals that they feel should have been included in our list, please do not hesitate to email us at podcast@gvzoo.com or DM us on our social media. I'm Callum Hughes.
And I'm Ashley Wysick.
And this has been A Wild Conversation.